We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're talking big game props on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome back to Roto-Viz Radio. I'm Dave Cabin, Senior Fantasy Analyst at Roto-Viz, joined by Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Labs and the Action Network. The Super Bowl is this weekend. We are now on the format where we are doing two smaller shows. This one we're going to dedicate entirely to the Super Bowl. Mr. Friedman is dying to talk through some props, but at a higher level, Matt, how excited are you for this game in comparison to recent Super Bowls?
Not dying to talk about props. By the way, I love that it's almost like instinctive that you mentioned the big game at the top of the show instead of saying Super Bowl. You don't want to get sued. I understand.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about it, but I feel like I'm not as excited as I was 2 years ago for Rams Patriots. Part of it was I just had much more action on that game, but I also thought it would just be like a really interesting game. And the game last year, I thought was really fascinating too. This one, I don't know. Like it's probably fascinating, but I don't know why. It just doesn't hold my interest as much. And maybe it's because we saw these two teams play each other in week 12.
Yeah, that could definitely have something to do with it. And I feel like for me, I'm kind of excited about it because of the Brady angle. I could see how if you weren't a Bucks fan or a Chiefs fan, this might not be as appealing. And maybe if the only thing you could really have in this game was to root against Brady, it might not be as intriguing as some of the other matchups that we've seen. Let's just start off, though, at the over-under, Matt. What I have seen is 56 points. Prior to you looking and seeing what this line would have been set at, what would you have expected?
Okay, so I was projecting 55.5 whenever the games were set right after the conference championships. I had 55.5 as my line. It opened at 57.5. Everyone I knew, well, I mean, you know, like a lot of the smart guys at Action Network, they were all saying that 57.5 was where they had it projected. Was a little gun shy on taking it, on betting the under, but it moved to 57 pretty quickly. That's where I bet it. And now it's 56.5 at most books. I think it'll probably stay around there. I imagine that, you know, public bettors will probably come in and, you know, that would maybe force it up. But I think most sharp bettors are probably going to be taking the under, which would kind of make it stay roughly where it is. So 56.5, I think, is probably the line that we're going to see heading into Sunday. And I have taken the under.
Got it. Why is it that sharp bettors would be more inclined to go on the side of the under?
I think a few reasons. One, like from a numbers perspective, I think 55 is actually maybe the right number. So just like mathematically, I think it might make sense. From a game flow perspective, I think what we could see, like Tom Brady historically has started out pretty slowly in Super Bowls. And like, I don't want to put too much weight on that sample, but at this point, it's like a 9-game sample, you know? Yep. And like, it's something that is just kind of there. Brady starts slow in Super Bowls, but even outside from that, the Chiefs, the way that they can be attacked is by the running game and by the short passing game. And I think that is what we will see the Buccaneers do. And if they do that, I think that will help to drive the game to the under just by slowing the game down, slowing down the pace of play. So, I always hate going against, and it's not as if I'm going against the Chiefs here, but if you're taking the under in a way, you're kind of saying like Patrick Mahomes isn't likely to explode. I kind of hate to do that, but I do think that the under is the right play here. Like famous last words, like this game will like shoot out and it'll be like 45-38 or something like that. But I do think the under is the right side here.
Got it. And I can definitely see why when you have a game like this where there's probably going to be more public action than there otherwise would be, why people would be inclined to bet it up. Because I think a lot of people on the surface are going to look at this. They're going to say, oh, well, you know, the Chiefs have this tremendous offense. Then you got Brady with all of these great offensive weapons. This one's definitely going to be a shootout, which it might not be. And like you mentioned, when you read about some of the things that these teams might do to try to limit each other, it might lend itself to a game that does not hit on the over. Now, the Chiefs, I would say in pretty much everything I've seen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, are favored by 3 points. Is that what you're seeing, Matt, or what you've been, you know, what has been out there?
So 3 is where it is at almost every book. At one book, I'm looking at BetMGM right now. It is at 3.5, but 3 is where it is at most places. It opened at 3.5 and has been bet to 3. And honestly, I don't know if it's going to go past that. I mean, if it goes to 2.5, I feel like everyone is going to bet on the Chiefs. So I think 3 is probably where it is going to stay. And honestly, at that number, I'm really happy to take the Chiefs. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it should be higher. I don't want to say like it should be like 6 or something like that, because that just feels like way too much. But like 5, I don't know. Maybe I'm just selling Tom Brady a little bit short here. But Andy Reid historically has been a great coach on the road. And, you know, this is a home game in theory for Tampa Bay, but it isn't really a home game, in part because, you know, the Super Bowl is always much more corporate. You know, there aren't like the real fans there the way that you normally see for a home game. And then also just any home game this year isn't really a home game because there are far fewer fans in attendance. So it's a home game in theory for Tampa Bay, but not really a home game. And Andy Reid on the road since joining the Chiefs in 2013, the Chiefs have been the most profitable team to bet on against the spread on the road. They are 40-22-1 against the spread on the road. And, you know, so obviously a chunk of that includes Mahomes, who's 15-8-1 on the road. Like, this is not a team that is going to have any sort of problems just because they are playing away from their home stadium. So, and then there are like, you know, other things on top of that, like actual game factors that I think point more towards the Chiefs than the Buccaneers. I mean, the Chiefs were ahead 17-0 in week 12. Going into the fourth quarter, they were still ahead by 17 points. And granted, they won by only 3, but they were really in control of that game from start to finish. And I think, you know, the final score of that game was not really indicative of what we saw. And, you know, kind of spinning that forward, I think we will see, and we can talk about this later when we start to hit on the props, but I think we will see Kansas City pretty much do what they need to do to be able to win by, I'd say, more than 3 points. I mean, I would put it closer to a touchdown, really, if I had to pick between 3 and 7 or 3 and 6, I would pick 6. But, you know, 3, happy to bet it there. And, you know, 3.5 as well. When it opened, I put a little bit there. But yeah, 3 is a great number, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm necessarily the person to go to on this, but my opinion would be that that 3, if you think about things rationally and from a probabilistic perspective, I feel like that's a very intriguing number. So if I were betting on this, I would be placing my money on Kansas City, even though there's this part of me that's like, nah, it's Brady in the Super Bowl. He's going to do it. But I think that if you're using your head, it's hard to go off of that. So that takes us through the over under and the spread. Let's start talking about the quarterbacks, because I think that is where this game will really get its tone from, and maybe look at some of the specific props. Probably makes the most sense to start with yardage, but feel free to pop into any of the more relevant props that you've seen that you feel like talking about.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have much of an opinion on the yardage props for passing, especially. Maybe if I'm going to take one, I would probably take the under on Brady, and that's around 296.5. You know, obviously, check different books, you know, kind of caveat, just make sure you're getting the best line on stuff like that. But 295, 296, that's around where the market is for Brady. I am imagining that we see a situation, as I mentioned earlier, with the Bucks running the ball a little bit more and going with more of the short passing game. The Chiefs, I don't actually think they have all that great of a defense, but they're actually pretty good at limiting wide receivers. They've allowed, in the regular season, they allowed the fewest receptions to wide receivers, the second fewest receiving yards to wide receivers. And, you know, wide receiver, that is the strength of the Buccaneers offense. And so if we get into a situation where the Buccaneers are relying more on Leonard Fournette and Gronkowski and Cameron Brate and less on Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown, if he plays, I think that's a real tactical win for the Chiefs. And I think that means that we end up seeing less passing production for Tom Brady than we might expect.
Got it. Well, the GLSP puts Brady in this game at just 239 yards, only passing 33 times, which feels a little low, and then off of that 1.8 touchdowns. But in my mind, I feel like that's a little bit too low. Interestingly enough, though, if you were looking at this just from a fantasy perspective, has very nice odds of going above 20 points this week.
Yeah, I mean, that is a low number. I have it at 274.5. I believe that Sean Corner has it closer to the line that's actually set. I think he has it around 294.5. I mean, I am expecting Brady at some point to have to pass to keep up, but I think in the first half of the game, he's likely to hand it off a little bit more and to dink and dunk, which I think gives him a better chance of hitting the under. Really, the one prop out of all the quarterbacks, I mean, say all the quarterbacks, but out of all the props for the quarterbacks that I like the most, is probably Patrick Mahomes, the rushing under for him. In his first, you know, his first two postseasons, we saw Mahomes have much more willingness to run the ball. But I don't think we're going to see that here because he's dealing with the turf toe injury. Mm-hmm. So last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago at this point, in the conference championship, he had, I think, just 5 yards rushing. The week before that, I think he had around 14. He's not running as much. I think he still kind of has some pocket mobility where he can kind of scoot around in the pocket and avoid sacks if he needs to. But that is still something that's pretty different from pulling the ball down, leaving the pocket and scrambling. And I think we're going to see a little bit less of that from him in the Super Bowl. So I am betting under 19.5 yards rushing for Mahomes.
Got it. Now, in terms of, did you talk about any of the actual touchdown props out there that you've looked at for these passers?
No, I mean, I think they're pretty much where they should be.
Yep.
Generally there's not a ton of value in those markets. So I'm going to be staying away from them for the most part. I don't know. I say that now, like by the time the game comes around, I'll probably have action on them just cause I'm probably going to bet on everything. But,
yep.
right now I don't view that as a market that is highly exploitable.
Got it. So the GLSP loves Mahomes in this game. Has him going 27 of 39 for 328 yards, 2.4 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing attempts, 420 yards. And if this is a game that you have a fantasy implication with Mahomes, 52% of his comps went for more than 25 points. So the GLSP absolutely loves Mahomes in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance he goes off. And I mean, we saw that in week 12. Like Mahomes, he absolutely went scorched earth in week 12 with, was it like 400 something? Yeah, 462 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Like that was just unreal. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we see something exactly like that again. But I do think there's a pretty good chance that Mahomes goes for over 300 yards. And I mean, the thing is, his line right now is so high. It's set at 325 at some books, 329.5 at FanDuel. Like that is, I believe that is the highest over under passing total that I have seen this year. I mean, they are just setting it high in part knowing that public bettors are going to come in and just be inclined to take the over on Mahomes. And then also that they will look, see what he did in week 12 and see like, oh, hey, that's the highest total he passed for this year. And people just based on that will be inclined to take the over. I don't know if they can set this line high enough based on the way that people are likely to bet it.
Yeah, I know. But when you see the numbers getting up to that point where they're that high, I have to feel like if I was putting my money on this, I'd actually probably want to toss some in on the unders there. Anything else left on the quarterbacks before we move on?
No, but it's funny. You said like you would be inclined to take the under and like, yeah, if I had to, I would probably bet the under. But one, like I just don't want to do that because it's Mahomes. And then two, I think you said the Gillespie projection was like around 328 or 300.
Yeah.
I mean, something. What was it? What was the Gillespie projection?
The actual number here for Mahomes is 328 yards.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's actually right in line with his player prop.
Right. So the tricky thing about this is that actually is a number that's probably, and I actually did not like look into the comps that you have. So I don't have too much information, but normally that means that there are a fair amount of players going over that.
Yeah.
Like in his comps.
That's a median. A median, not an average.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, Gillespie's putting it there. I have it projected around like, I think 310, but or 303. But I mean, it's like I have no confidence in that. Like, I don't want to bet the under on Mahomes. So yeah, I'm staying away.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's it for quarterbacks.
Okay. You know, a thought that popped into my head, James, and I don't know any of the rules on this, but with James White being an unrestricted free agent, was there any way that Tampa Bay could have gone, signed James White and Brady and White reunited to march the Buccaneers to victory here?
Yeah, there's no way that was going to happen unless unless the Patriots like actually cut him.
Yeah, that would have been something. All right. Anyways, random thought from me there. So let's talk about the running backs in this matchup. Matt, I'm just going to let you highlight any of the running back props that stood out to you.
Okay, so Darrell Williams, early last week, the first number that popped out for him was 41.5 yards rushing, which was just incredibly egregious. And at this point, I believe it's been bet down to 31.5. So not as much value there. Actually, it's now 30.5. But I would still, if I had to bet aside on that, I would still take the under. I think it should probably be around 28.5. So it's not as if it has much value now, but like just in general, Daryl Williams going against the number one DVOA rush defense, that is not a good matchup for him. And so pretty much all of the Daryl Williams unders, I think, are bettable. Like Daryl Williams under 13.5 yards receiving. Totally love that line. I think that should be closer. Let me look at that. I think that should be closer to 8.5. So I think there's pretty significant value there because the Bucs are actually still pretty good against running backs in the passing game as well. So Daryl Williams, the unders for him, I think look pretty exploitable. And then one more that really catches my eye. Ronald Jones over 8.5 carries. And let me just crunch some. Let me just make sure. Yeah, it is still at 8.5. I think it should be closer to 10.
Yep.
Right now, let me just make sure I'm looking at this right. Yeah, I have it projected at 10. Sean Corner in the Action Labs tool has it projected around 10. And if you look at what Ronald Jones has done, now granted he missed some games, but he has played in the past couple of playoff games, but in every game since week 10, he's had more than 8.5 carries. And, you know, given what I said earlier, that I think this is a situation in which the Buccaneers are going to attack the Chiefs with their running game, because that is where the Chiefs are most exploitable. They basically invite teams to run against them. I think because of that, we will see a situation with Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette both getting significant work. Even if the Buccaneers get down by like 7 points, I still think that they will probably run more, at least in the first half, than we would expect. So Ronald Jones over 8.5 carries is something that I have bet.
Yeah, that one seems really nice. And though not every game that's making its way into the sample here is representative in the Gillespie, Ronald Jones is at 13. So that gives a lot of wiggle room between that projection and where the line is at. Fournette is at 8 attempts. In regard to Williams and the receiving yardage prop, Gillespie has him at 13 receiving yards, which is probably a little bit inflated because the last couple of games, there was not as much competition with the other backs there. So that seems like one that you make a good point on. Any other running back pieces before we move on here?
No, I haven't made any bets yet on Fournette or Edwards-Helaire. But if I had to take some stabs on Fournette, let me rephrase that. I haven't bet any of the like the player props, like over unders for Fournette, but I do have a bet on him to win Super Bowl MVP. And I do have a bet on him to score the first touchdown. Because as I mentioned, I do think, again, a situation in which we are going to see the Buccaneers attack through their backfield. The Chiefs are very weak against the run and also pretty weak in pass defense against running backs. And, you know, Fournette, for all of his, you know, potential shortcomings, he is the back that they are relying on in the receiving game. And so you can bet, depending on the book, you know, 30-1, 33-1 on Fournette to win MVP. And if it turns out to be a situation, like, it's not likely to happen, but that's, you know, that's accounted for in the odds. If we get a situation where the Buccaneers win, but somehow Tom Brady doesn't win, let's say it's a doesn't win MVP, let's say it's a low scoring game, and Fournette gets the usage that he's gotten in the playoffs so far, that could be around 20 touches. And if he gets 20 touches against this Chiefs defense and the Buccaneers win the game, he has a very good chance to be a live candidate to win MVP, because that could end up being 100, 120 yards and, you know, maybe multiple touchdowns. So Fournette to win MVP, like, that's kind of like my sneaky longer shot MVP bet.
Well, that would certainly be quite the storyline if that did play out. We're going to take a quick pause, though, for a reminder.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colin Kelly here, executive.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, Matt, talk to me about the wide receivers in this game. A lot of talent there.
Okay. Tyreek Hill. This is a very donkey type of bet, but I'm going over 91.5 yards. And I feel, I always feel like wrong taking the over on a big name, player, because it just, it seems fishy. You know, like it seems like other people like sharps are probably going to be on the under, and like the people who are going to be betting the over on a player like Hill or like Kelsey, those are going to be, you know, like the more inexperienced bettors, but I just kind of don't care. I think Hill ends up smashing in this game. If we look at what he did in the Super Bowl last year, I think he had like 15 or 16 targets, had 105 yards in his two playoff games this year. He has 110 yards and 172 yards. And in week 12 against the Bucks, I mean, he had a career high 269 yards. I don't think the Bucks have a cornerback who can actually keep up with Tyreek Hill. And, you know, even if they did, I mean, which they don't, but that guy's not going to move all across the formation into the slot to defend Tyreek Hill. So I just think it's the combination of Hill's talent and the volume he's going to have. And then the fact that the Buccaneers, even though they have a good defense, I don't think they have the right type of cornerbacks to hang with Hill. So I'm going over 91.5.
Wow. Well, you know, it's really hard to fault you for that, because if there is a player that one's going to feel like they want to take on the over, it just might be Tyreek Hill. 106 yards, 8 recs on 11 targets is what we have him at in the GLSP, 0.8 touchdowns. Any other receivers that have props that stand out to you, Matt?
Yeah, so Sammy Watkins going under 36.5 yards receiving. You know, he's injured. He's obviously crushed before in the playoffs, but it's just a different situation now with the calf injury. And I do think that there's a decent chance that Carlton Davis will end up shadowing Watkins if he plays, and then they will try to use bracket coverage on Tyreek. But, you know, if Davis is on Watkins, I think, not that that means like Watkins is unusable in DFS or anything like that, but I just think it means that, you know, Mahomes has incentive to look elsewhere. So I'm taking under 36.5 on Watkins, also taking the under on whatever is out there for Demarcus Robinson. He's at this point been taken over in the offense by Byron Pringle. And if Watkins returns, then that just means even fewer opportunities. And obviously, Mecole Hardman is still going to get his allotment of snaps and routes. Robinson played.
So actually, I have to stop you there, because actually he just got put on the COVID-19 list.
He did?
Yep.
Well, wieners. So that sucks, because that was free money. like DeMarcus Robinson under was free money. So anyway, okay, good to know on the COVID situation. Mike Evans, I'm looking under 63.5 yards receiving, and I would bet that into the 50s. He had just 50 yards against the Chiefs in week 12, and he has 63.5 yards. Let me rephrase that. He has fewer than 63.5 yards in seven of
That's fine.
He's gone over 63.5 yards in only seven of 19 games. So, you know, more often than not, he has tended toward the under here. I'm also taking the under on Chris Godwin, under 77.5 yards receiving. And a lot of this is just that the Chiefs have a pretty good defense by scheme that limits production to wide receivers. So I'm also going under Scotty Miller, under 1.5 receptions, under 20.5 yards receiving. And that's even if Antonio Brown doesn't play.
Got it. All right. We get to touch on the tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce, donkey that I am, just hammering the overs for Travis Kelce. The Bucs do not have a good tight end defense. Kelce has 8+ receptions in 9 of 10 games since week 8, and his line is 7.5. So I will take the over there. And then also, I've seen 94.5 yards receiving for Kelce. It might move around a little bit, but I really don't care. Kelce has 10+ targets in every game but one since week 8, and his yardage prop over is 12.5. For this season. And again, the Bucs defense, they are number 25 in pass DVOA against tight ends. So Kelce, like, he's being targeted as if he's basically Devontae Adams. You know, like, his usage is incredibly elite at this point. And given that's the case, I can't help but bet the overs on Kelce, even though it feels like an incredibly donkey thing to do.
Got it. And, anybody on the other offense at tight end that has an interesting prop?
Yeah, I mean, I'm betting unders on Gronk,
right?
And under 3.5 receptions on Cameron Brate. So yeah, under 30.5 yards receiving for Gronk.
Got it. All right, so we've covered all of those positions. You talked some about MVP. It, just in case there was a defensive prop or anything else that we didn't hit upon there, I will give you an opportunity to shout it out.
Nah, I mean, come on. I'm a lazy person, let's be honest. So I haven't looked at those yet. I might later in the week, but you know, maybe not. But if I do, I mean, company man that I am, I should say that at Action Labs, we do have a Super Bowl portfolio where you can see all of the bets that that I'm making. So in addition to, you know, just the Action app where you can see all the player props, you can see the MVP bets, you know, first to score touchdowns, all of those other kind of non-player proppy type of bets. You can see all of that in the Action Labs tool.
So the real question that I've been waiting all episode to ask you, Matt, is what color is the Gatorade that is going to get poured on the winning head coach?
You know I don't think about things like that.
Come on. You haven't done it. You haven't gone back and done, you know, some large analysis. You're not grinding the film from the last, you know, however many Super Bowls and figuring it out.
Previous years, I would have done that. But now I let other people do that, and then I read what they write. But I'm probably not going to be betting on it. Like, that feels just like another version of betting on the coin toss.
Got it. All right. Any other of the ridiculous bets, you know, about the weekend performing the halftime show, anything like that that you have looked at?
No, I haven't looked at any of that. Although I should say I am going to start researching a little bit more for the national anthem. Early word is that the under might be the sharp side there.
Got it.
That's typically not how I lean. Normally, I think the over is the sharp side, but I think I've heard that the under might be the sharp side here.
Okay. Which coach's nose do you think we see first? So, meaning the first coach that we get a glimpse of on camera pulling down the mask?
Oh, I think that has to be Arians. I mean, he feels like someone who just doesn't want to wear a mask, period.
Right. All right. So, I think we can close it there. you know, Matt has, I'm sure, a plethora of coverage out there if you really want to get some more of his thoughts on you know, even more granular information out there. Any closing things on this game, Matt? I guess from my perspective, I'm just going to say I'm extremely thankful that we're actually getting to the point where we're going to have a Super Bowl. The season went off very well, all things considered. I just hope everybody enjoys the game.
Yeah, I mean, good point. We are very fortunate that we are even having a Super Bowl this year. And I mean, you know, we opened the show by saying like, not that enthusiastic. I think it's going to be a really fun game. Like Mahomes versus Brady in a Super Bowl. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really funny. My nephew is 8 and he's just getting into football for the first time. So it's funny because he's like this bandwagon Chiefs fan now and is all about Mahomes. So my dad never watched any football or did like, you know, like wasn't into sports at all when my brother and I were kids. But now like my nephew has him playing Madden, which is just an interesting scenario. So I will be curious to see if he gets to see Mahomes pull this out or if old man Brady, who is a lot older than him, manages to pull out the victory.
All right.
Yep. All right, on that note, I think that we are done with this episode, but we are going to be back later in the week with a look at rookie running backs, the 2021 rookie running back class. Some interesting names in there, but until next time, make sure to follow us at DaveCabinFF, at MattFTheOracle. Email us at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. And remember, it's not a fantasy if you believe it.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.